Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a kite. Hello friends, and welcome back to Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z Rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Tyler. Joining me for the discourse on this episode is Matt.
Woo!
Aaron.
Woohoo!
And Jason.
Wow, it's like you're cycling through our sound tests. you just like ha, mash through ha, hiya,
hey,
whoa, all
get some.
Nice.
There's no such thing as ethical consumption under capitalism.
Whoa,
bonus.
Speaking of sound effects in a video game.
Triple KO!
This is related to hit anime Dragon Ball Z. Funny yeah. enough. Y'all remember that game Budokai? We've talked
yeah.
about it a couple times.
Never
there's,
did actually play it.
There's a couple
it.
Of them. There's a character in Budokai named Trunks.
Never heard of him.
The boy from the future?
The boy from the future.
The one who traveled oh. to the past?
And I adore his fight sounds in that game.
Yeah. Oh?
My brother and I would quote them back and forth to each other frequently. Another thing from this fucking show that we would just say to each other, apropos of nothing. But his, like, three-hit combo, he would say, truck, truck, quar!
What?
That rules. Yeah, I don't remember if it was him or Yamcha, but somebody, whenever they got knocked back, would just go, warg!
It's a good game.
Yeah.
With good sounds.
Because it's so close to like if he was a Pokemon saying his name, but it's not quite it. Trunks.
Quar. That reminds me of my favorite fight sounds from the other DBZ fighting game, Dragon Ball FighterZ, mm-hmm. where I usually main a character from Dragon Ball Super. I will say that he has pink hair, and leave it at mm-hmm. that.
Rosé,
some may say. In his Dragon Rush, which is the grab for this game, he goes, not getting away! Which is usually what I say when I'm trying to make a level 1 or level 3 super happen and failing. So not getting away is usually the last thing this character says before eating...
About
18 combos.
I really like Cell's teleport quote where he gets behind and just goes, Hello.
So every week on this show, we cover three episodes of the hit anime Dragon Ball Z. Perhaps you've heard of it. Before we get into it, we usually like to have a conversation that is tangentially related to maybe a theme or a topic of said episodes.
Yeah.
This week, I wanted to ask my esteemed panel.
Uh-huh.
Do you guys have any favorite cheat codes?
Define cheat.
Wait, either in a video codes? Game or a life hack, something just makes your life easier or lets you win when you're not supposed to.
The old up, up, down, down, left, right, BA start.
Yeah, extra lives.
Does changing the win conditions for your own personal self count?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great.
That's absolutely cheating.
The one
that's Calvin Ball.
Yeah.
So the one cheat, like traditional cheating story I have for a video game was when I got which Pokemon game was it?
What system was it on?
I don't.
Tyler's ready.
A Game Shark was involved, so probably a Game Boy.
So probably like Red or Blue? One of the originals? Or Silver?
No.
Or Gold?
Probably one of
Emerald?
Those.
Emerald? No, Crystal.
Fire Red?
I'm trying to think.
Leaf
Green.
I jumped a gen.
Could I have had Treecko?
Moon? Was it Moon?
It wasn't Moon. I never got to play that. It was probably Gold. But it was the one time... I almost always use... unless I'm in the originals, I'd start with Charizard, but I almost always, aside from that, used the water starters. It was the one time I used one of the grass starters. Mm-hmm. And my cousin, because I had just gotten this game for Christmas, and my cousin let me use his Game Shark, and I was like, oh, dang, I'm gonna get all the rare candies. And then I felt just so guilty, like I had cheated my starter Pokemon from the bond that we would form by battling together, that I restarted the game and I never used a Leaf starter again.
Oh, buddy. Rare Candy Code was actually one of my favorites.
You swore off the grass.
God, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I betrayed the grass.
You went straight edge.
I felt like the grass knew of my sins.
You could never go back to that place.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely did the rare candy. It was not a cheap code, it was just straight up a glitch. It was like involving
the
like,
missing no?
Missing no, yeah. And just, I did that. I bumped up every Pokemon that I had in my roster to 100 with the rare candy code, including a legally gotten Mew, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I was at like one of the tournament at various convention centers across America.
So you didn't glitch Mew?
Nope. There was a real life legal Mew on my Pokemon Red game.
Because I for sure did do the glitch.
Okay.
I had a similar story to Aaron's where I did the rare candy Game Shark cheat, and instead I just like found that the game wasn't fun anymore. So I just restarted it, and instead did the infinite Pokeballs cheat, which I didn't mind because money is bullshit.
Yeah, it's just give busy me the balls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Jason.
Yes, Tyler.
Before we began.
Yeah.
You quickly proclaimed that you had a cheat in mind.
I did, yes.
And I wanted to make sure that it wasn't one that I was going to mention.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
But you're trying to stunt on me.
I am. I might be.
So,
stunting and styling.
So I propose we both reveal the game
of
which this cheat code belongs.
Yep.
On three. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
One, two, three. Ristar. God damn it. Yes.
On the Sega Genesis.
Hell yeah. Is it the I love you cheat?
Yes.
Yeah!
If you type I love you into Ristar, you get the level select. It's a very wholesome cheat code.
I love it.
Oh, that's really cute.
Yeah.
And
you get like a cute little voice clip from Ristar.
Some of my favorites were in Age of Empires, because I would like to just cheat to get resources instead of doing it the real way.
Oh yeah.
The best one was for food, which was just pepperoni pizza.
Good.
But you could also type Big Daddy,
and you
would get a car that had rocket launchers on it as a unit.
Oh, I had that one. Ooh. I did that one.
That's cool.
Also a pretty good cheat code.
I can't remember any of the... I think they were more Easter eggs than cheats, at least the ones I used for, like, Roller Coaster Tycoon and Zoo Tycoon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, like, there was one where you could get unicorns if you... Something with Xanadu. And, like, I think if you named one of the park goers Alfred Hitchcock, everybody got attacked by birds. That was fun. I don't know if that's real.
Yeah.
There was a bird one in Age of Empires that if you typed in King Arthur, it would turn all of them into dragons.
Oh, that's so cool.
I'm a fan of any cheat code that messes with the graphics, so I'm always a big head mode proponent.
Yeah, that was the only other one I did. Any game that had big head mode, I just played the whole game at that.
Yeah, like GoldenEye. Mm-hmm. I had like a Wayne Gretzky game for N64 that had a good big head mode on it.
NBA
Wait, what's
Jam.
What's a big head mode?
It's just, it messes with the models of all the players in it so that they just have big old heads and regular sized bodies.
It's quite literal.
Yeah.
It just makes the heads big.
That sounds really fun.
It's really goofy.
I loved it.
It's especially good in a game like GoldenEye where it just makes it super easy to get headshots.
Yeah. Oh god, I forgot that it expanded the hitbox along with the head. Amazing.
As for reframing win conditions, we had a racing game on a computer. I forget what it was called. It was like Zoo Escape or something. You're a bunch of It was a racing game. You're a bunch of animals that escaped from the zoo in race cars, and you ran over hedgehogs. And it was just a racing game. You could like mess up your opponent by like having the devil wag his butt on their screen.
All right.
It was a weird game, but oh, geez, how did it work? How did this start? I don't like losing very much.
Sure.
That's reasonable.
I can be really competitive, but if I know I can't win, I mostly just kind of give up and find other ways to win that don't have to do with the actual game.
Sure.
So in this racing game, you could really easily just go off the racing track. And if you went in water, your little race car turned into a little submarine, with a little, just a little, looky hole thingamabob poking up from the water. Mm-hmm. So I would go hide in the water, and so all of the NPCs and my opponent would like finish the race, but we wouldn't be able to leave the level because I was hiding, and I would make them come find me. And so that was fun. And then, my friend and I, she finally got bored of racing too, and so we would play out, you know, the romances between the animals, and they'd have to go find each other. And then one day we discovered a glitch, which was if somebody runs at the outside wall of the racing level mode thing, and then another person like drives up behind them and runs into them, you can push them outside the boundary of the level.
Nice.
At which point, you're forever separated, but the person on the outside can drive into the infinite wasteland towards mountains that you can never reach. And so that was a fun thing to play pretend with existential despair and like, is it better to be free in a wasteland or trapped in the only part of the world that has meaning? And so that was fun.
Aiming towards that skybox.
So that's my cheating.
That's actually really similar to another one that I used to do. It's not necessarily cheating, other than a very amoral manipulation of a game's rule set.
Mm-hmm.
Which is me and my friend used to play one. I don't remember which WWE games it was. Probably one of the Raws versus SmackDowns before they went to 2K. So in cage matches, if it's a tag team, just in cages matches in general, once you're out of the cage, you're supposed to win.
Mm-hmm.
But in a tag team match, both people have to get out of the cage for it to be a win. And if you're out of the cage, you cannot get back in. You're just stuck standing there outside the cage. So what we would do is challenge people to tag team cage matches, pretend to suck, let one person get out of the cage, and then immediately grab the other person and just beat on him for like 30 minutes while his friend kid just sits there and watch.
So you did like, you hustled people with cage matches.
Yeah. It was inexplicably evil, but it was also really fun.
Any other cheat codes, or would you guys like to discuss hit anime Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah, I'm done with cheats. Let's get back to having honor.
Sure.
Yeah. We need to fight honorably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do just that. This week, we're covering episodes 187, 188, and 189 of hit anime Dragon Ball Z. Watching on Funimation now for the most part. Sometimes we check with the subs.
Yeah, I watched all three in both subs and dubs.
Excellent.
Really?
Yeah, and I gotta say, I watched the first two last night, and my final note from last night is everything is bullshit. And then I watched the third one today, and I did not expect to cry, but here we are. So let's get into it.
Let's. Episode 187, the English title is Cell's Breakdown.
First of all, that's a really good pun, just as a title.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
The Japanese title roughly translates to something amiss with Cell. His perfect form crumbles.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Mm.
So Krillin would like to know why Gohan hasn't finished Cell off yet.
I put in here, why won't you fuck him up, Gohan?
It's a valid question.
Lionel is hard at work fixing their equipment so that they don't miss the whole fight.
God bless Lionel. got that camera open in the middle of a supernatural dust storm. He's doing his best.
Gohan slowly walks towards Cell, and Cell repeatedly begins to kick Gohan, who just kind of nonchalantly grabs him by the leg.
So good.
And kicks him like a field goal.
Oh my gosh.
Cell,
just into the distance.
That kick is unsafe on block.
Cell got team rocketed.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Man, I thought he was going to kick off his leg.
Created by a child.
Even though he's younger than the child.
And to prove it, the move he decides to do is a Destructo Disc.
Destructo Desk is what he says.
He does do two of them, and clearly that's been Krillin's problem, is not enough of them.
It doesn't really help him, though. Yes, but what about more?
I don't think I've ever seen anyone do this. And I mean this honestly. We've seen them cut through things, we've seen them cut through people, we've seen them, like, smash into the back of Cell's neck and dissipate into nothing. Mm-hmm. I have never seen anyone catch the Destructo Disc.
And he doesn't...
catches them on his fists!
Yeah, he doesn't actually, like, grab them. He just uses sheer force of will to stop them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's good.
And then he proceeds to disintegrate them.
Yeah.
Oh!
Gohan's just like, I've seen this show. I know this move isn't gonna work.
I love... in the Japanese, Cell yells, I am the one who is the ultimate warrior who stands at the peak of all things. Don't you take my infinite perfect power and dismiss it.
Love that.
I love that, because in the English, he's just pulling out all the classic villain vocal stabs.
But I was perfect.
I will show you what true power is.
Oh, here's my favorite thing. He was lamenting. It's like, you can't beat me. I'm whole. He says that. I'm whole. Mm-hmm. He is perfect. His name is Perfect Cell. And that got me to thinking, Cell was carefully calibrated by Dr. Gero to be the ultimate weapon to defeat Goku. Gero did not intend...
There's extra variables, you're saying.
Yeah, there is a Han-shaped variable.
He didn't account for rice.
Cell tries the special beam cannon as well. It is also swatted away. And I was just like, you saw the Cells Jr. do this, and it didn't work. My thought was the exact same thing.
I like the animation team's commitment to consistency when it comes to beams, because anytime someone checks out the special beam cannon or a Masenko, it's like, all right, everybody, yellow and purple lighting.
Get your markers out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah.
I also appreciate the difference in dialogue. In the English and Japanese, Cell says the same thing of, wahahaha, now what will you do? English Gohan is sassy and says, watch and learn. Japanese Gohan just says, not a thing.
Also true. Cell tries a beam scramble, but it appears to just go through Gohan.
Yeah, I didn't know what the deal was with that.
He's probably doing that thing that Goku did on Namek where his feet move real fast.
Oh, yeah. That was really cool. I wish
that or his ki is just too strong.
I guess. Shit.
We get a window into Cell's internal dialogue, and I love that it's basically a supercut of every dumb villain thing every dumb villain he's composed of has said.
Right.
Like, curse you! Rapid fire! What, he's still standing? Ah! It's impossible!
Now you're cycling through Cell's sound test.
Right!
Yeah, when he did the rapid fire volley, I just unconsciously went, oh, it's Vegeta's move.
Mm-hmm. Ah, the beam scramble. I'm sure it'll work this time.
Yeah.
Hercule has decided that he's going to take Gohan on as a protege.
That's amazing.
He's decided. It's final.
That's adorable.
I'm going to teach that kid everything I know.
I love this because this is where Jimmy Firecracker goes off.
He breaks kayfabe.
Oh my god, Jimmy. What the heck? How dare you, Jimmy?
Listen, the microphone's off. He lays it out. It's like, go. This kid is way stronger than you by like a fair amount.
And we all know it.
Yeah. Honestly, who are you trying to fool?
The answer was himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's much more polite in Japanese, but it's still basically the same.
Piroshki and Karoni are feeling slighted because they had to pay for the services.
Right. I thought that they were buds, that they were in it
yeah,
together.
Yeah, that's a new wrinkle in the lore.
It's a very McDojo. You gotta pay for belt upgrades.
Cell is now truly terrified of Gohan as this little boy just continues to slowly walk towards him.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually runs away from him.
I love that in the Japanese, the narrator actually steps in at this moment.
Really?
Which is, yeah, I love when this happens in shows, like just a quick narration. Because it says, at that moment, Cell distinctly felt fear. He then regretted having angered Son Gohan and drawing out his true power just for the fun of it.
His heart shrank 3 sizes that day.
Yeah.
Cell launches himself into the sky, preparing another one of those earth-busting Kamehamehas.
We're just not going to stop aiming a gun at the planet.
No. Are you allowed to stop and monologue in the middle of saying Kamehameha?
I don't think so.
Kame, this one's really going to get you. Kame.
Well, it got me because he did Kamehame. Ah ha ha ha. Here you go. Let's see you try to stop this. I'm going to blow up the earth and there's nothing you can do. And then a pause.
Because he's perfect Cell, he can do that technique. He says Kamehame. Okay, of a number 2 with extra sauce, large fries, chocolate shake. No, do you want anything? No. Okay, no, it's fine, just one. Okay, thank you. Ha.
It turns out the ha isn't necessary for the incantation. It's just the little flavor that everybody puts on it.
Gives it a good spin.
It's Kamehameha, not Kamehameha.
Gohan fires his own Kamehameha in return, and he also breaks tradition because he just kind of says it without doing the stance until the very end.
Yeah, he almost like mutters it.
Yeah.
That makes it, like, even more spooky. Like, he's just like, all right, I'm gonna fuck you up now.
Waiting for the last minute. This is so good, because his is so small and sharp and bright. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, it's good. I also want to quickly note the beginning of Vegeta's emotional journey. He legit thinks he's gonna die here. He says, no, not like this. Closes his eyes.
He gets torn out of the Matrix.
God.
Right? Not like this.
Meanwhile, in Japanese, Goku just says, that bastard.
Whoa.
Right? I love it when he cusses.
Language, Goku.
Goku.
Language, Grandma.
Who was he calling a bastard? Cell or Gohan?
Cell.
Okay.
Cell's Kamehameha is entirely enveloped by Gohan's, and he is pushed kind of towards outer space.
Yo, oh, it's so good.
We see when Cell gets back down that a good portion of his body was destroyed. I think he lost like a leg.
He lost like his crown. A leg, both yeah. arms, and yeah, his crown.
Just got one shaved. Arm, I think.
Oh, was it just one?
Yeah, it was one arm, a leg, and a foot, and his crown.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Long story short, he done got fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Now's a good time to destroy him, right?
It would be.
It would be a blast.
Here's
to steal Krillin's joke.
I love Piccolo in this following scene. Just his, wait a minute, you guys. Don't forget, he's got my cell.
he can regenerate.
And then people act like they actually forgot that.
Also, have you heard of this? It's a Zenzu bean.
I play Pot of Greed. Let's me draw 2 cards.
And regrow my arm.
Obviously, if you regrow your arm, you can hold more cards. Duh.
I regrow my dual disc.
Goku flashes back to the time that he and Gohan were in the time chamber. he kept wanting to not push Gohan so hard, but Gohan kept pushing himself. Mm-hmm. And then there was one time where he kind of sort of did a Super Saiyan 2, again, kind of sort of taking all the impact out of it. I don't know why they keep doing that episode after episode.
Yeah. I mean, I will say I appreciate this flashback for, like, showing us the actual moment where Goku realizes what needs to happen.
Oh, this kid could fuck him up.
Oh, this kid can do it. Because I'm tired, but he's still got that extra spark.
He did pass out, though, so we gotta work on that.
You know, goals.
Yeah.
Things to work towards.
English Goku is just sort of fighting. Japanese Goku, at least, is explicitly worried about kicking his kid too hard.
Buddy.
The Z-Warriors continue to urge Gohan that now's the time to sort of finish the job, because he's gonna regenerate again, so...
Anytime.
Should take this opportunity while it is presenting itself.
Gohan's really got a troubling smirk.
He does. I noted that smile, and it was disconcerting.
And he gives... Like, the look he gives Goku when Goku yells at him, that it just made me think very much of the dog I dog sat who had a knife when I tried to tell her to drop it. The one who made your editing so hard the last 2 weeks, Tyler. That is exactly the look she gave me.
Now, Matt.
Uh-huh.
Last week, you made a superhero-based comparison.
Yeah, I did.
Would you like to reiterate it?
I'd said basically that the whole thing about tragedy building character, and I used Spider-Man as an example.
Interesting.
Why is that?
No reason. Let's continue.
Something about power?
Something about power and responsibility.
Something like that.
Anyway.
Oh, if you have power, you don't need to have responsibility, right?
Yeah.
Because you can just fix your mistakes. And there are no consequences.
Anyway, Gohan decides that he's going to wait because he wants to make Cell suffer.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy.
This is the moment. Right. This is realizing. I'm going to use adult here liberally, because Cell is like a few years old, but obviously he has the body and mental facilities of like a humanoid adult.
Sure.
This is literally like a child realizing that he is actually stronger than an adult and is going to apply that cruelty forthwith.
Mm.
Gohan is a good kid. But he all is. Kids are pretty shitty.
They have shittiness within them. They must be carefully taught to avoid the shittiness.
With great shittiness comes great responsibility.
Cell does indeed regenerate, and then he beefs to the extreme.
This is the most embeefened I have seen him.
Extremely embeefened.
Dave has a question from his notes that he sent to me, because he couldn't be here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does this count as the right way to get big?
No.
No.
Like Piccolo does.
Didn't do it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Trunks actually points out because he learned the hard way.
Yeah. If you're
he
super
realize him,
Cell's
stink.
Doing the thing. You can't just be big.
Yeah,
if
he
you're
falls
super
into
Saiyan
the
beefy.
He falls into the exact same trap that Trunks did.
And he proceeds to explain why you shouldn't do it to everybody who already knows.
He also looks and sounds incredibly gross when he's just this big, slow, lumbering monster.
I like the way he looks when he's big.
It's yucky.
It's weird, but I like it.
Yeah, it is weird, but yeah, it's good.
I have a full
angry Frieza.
Oh, yes.
Just complete denial. I am whole, you wretched child. How dare you? How dare you?
He also says one of my favorite lines, "You're not a boy, you're a monster."
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it's true.
Uh-huh. Yep, a little bit.
Yeah.
Here's a tasty little morsel for your ego, kid.
He trapped an ant, and he's going to pick off all the legs before he crushes it. That's what Gohan's doing.
Gohan kicks Cell so hard in the guts that Cell goes wall-eyed.
Ooh, here we go. You know when you're on a roller coaster and you go up, 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 and you're building to a precipice before the ride starts proper.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
We're at this one, and the ride is called Body Horror. Stay tuned. Yeah.
For, like, the rest of the episodes this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of it.
Every time I thought it couldn't get more, and then it was more.
I do gotta admit, Toriyama is so good at those stomach shots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, big characters getting punched in the stomachs is one of his favorite tricks, and he's good.
He played Punch Out and fought against Bull Bull and was like, wait a minute.
Hey.
Hang on now.
Cell begins spitting up those juices again.
Yep.
And he drops to his knees.
The Foley is gonna get bad.
His chest starts throbbing. He
starts to hack something up like a cat.
Oh, God. Here's a...
I wrote, Vegeta, have you never seen a man barf before?
He has not. It's too unprincely.
Vegeta's fun never fact, barfed.
Whenever... We had a lot of...
I don't like that realization. That's just as gross as what is actually happening.
It's during this moment, like, I've seen my cat back when we had cats, mm-hmm. when they were doing this motion of just like, oh, we're going to throw up. And I would... Yep. And I was trained to, like, spring it from the couch out like a shot, and I would immediately pick up that cat and put him on the tile.
Pick him up and wield him like a shotgun.
I was just ready. It's like, not on the carpet. No.
Oh, buddy.
And he does spit something up.
Yeah, what is he?
It's a whole woman.
Dude barfed up a lady.
Oh my god.
He vomits out Android 18 in her entirety.
Because.
Yeah. Where so was she?
Where was yeah, she?
Where was she in there?
Was she did in she... the overhead compartment?
Did she just, like, reconstitute herself in his chest a minute ago when it was exploding?
Is Cell a Zord?
Does that mean he could barf up anybody he's absorbed?
Money guy?
Well, that's the thing, is that 17 and 18 were absorbed in a unique way.
Yeah.
They went in whole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Through the cone.
He didn't suck out their essence.
Money Guy was the juices that came out before 18.
Oh, no. Yeah. Ew.
Well, at least he's free.
I made it worse. I'm sorry.
God, those juices are so yucky, because they don't look like organic juices. It mm-hmm. looks like... Oh god, what's the like mercury?
Yeah.
Or yeah,
like
yeah.
Some like silica gel or something.
Yeah, there's for like sure. a silvery yeah. tone to it.
Frothy.
Like
it looks very synthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like my question is, does that mean that, you know, just do one more of those punches and you'll get 17?
Maybe.
Ideally.
I thought that was what was going to happen, cuz he looked like he was getting ready to hurl again.
Mhm. Mhm. Any other notes for 187?
Just one last note from the Japanese. As after Cell gets punched and Piccolo watching this and watching Cell grab his throbbing chest, he just goes, yep, that's what it is, all right.
Oh, God.
Piccolo, what? It's exactly as I thought. Piccolo, what are you talking about?
He's just fronting.
Yeah, what do you know, Cell Piccolo? Can no-
Cell can no longer remain in his perfect form.
And yeah, there's a bit that happens, I can't remember if this episode or another one, where he's like, he's talking like he knows what's happening, and Trunks goes, how do you know that? And he just goes, just watch.
What the fuck?
That's not an explanation, Piccolo.
And then he hides his crossed fingers in his, like, arm folds as he just prays to be correct. Dave's last note, he very excitedly types, I was right. Instagrams from inside Cell are canon.
Oh, God.
No. Oh, no. Oh, yucky.
Episode 188, the English title is A Hero's Farewell.
Huh. Excuse me, title?
That's foreboding.
The Japanese title roughly translates to Bye Bye, Everyone. Goku's last instant transmission.
Oh, Okey dokey.
He must just be like going away for vacation for a while.
Yeah, he's just going to get some cigarettes.
Deciding to send some transmission things. Not a fun cheat.
He's just going to the store.
Go on, tell Chi Chi, I'll be right back.
So the episode begins with Cell reaching down, mouth still agape. I think he's trying to put her back in.
This was horrifying. I loved it.
Yeah.
Was it like when you lose an arm and then you pick it up?
Yeah.
Because you don't know what else to do with it?
But like more desperate and hungry. Like this is an animal.
Yes.
Hunger.
And he's like drooling and slobbering and just like, and he's this super beefy perfect Cell and he's reaching over to grab 18 and I was like, no, because
I like can grab her with his whole hand, like she just fits in his giant hand.
Yeah,
that freaked me the fuck out because I specifically noted like he looks like he's moving like a Dark Souls boss.
Oh yeah, that was it. Ugh.
Yeah.
He also needs to close his gross leaky mouth.
Yes, please.
Jimmy got his microphone back.
Is it working?
No, it's still busted, but at least he has it back.
He needs it. It brings comfort to him.
Yeah, he's like Linus.
His security microphone.
God, the whole Satan squad is understandably flabbergasted.
Oh, yeah.
They did just see Cell vomit out a woman.
I especially feel for Ms. Pizza at this moment.
One who they've never seen before.
She just looks especially hopeless.
Of the bizarre developments today, that is probably the most bizarre.
Yeah.
Cell reverts back to his shitty frog form.
Oh, great, thanks.
Nice.
I love and hate how his tail extends.
Yep.
Like, it's really cool, and also I hate it.
He needs it again.
We can't skip past it. Lionel lost his hat. I've been wondering this whole time whether he just had bangs or a mullet. Mullet confirmed.
It's because they have drawn him differently in several episodes.
Well, in this one, he has a mullet.
Yeah, I think they're being more consistent now. Yeah. But there was a couple episodes ago where I was like, who is that? Because he had like a buzz cut.
Huh.
Oh, weird.
Under his hat. Cell begins to impotently attack Gohan despite being even weaker now.
Weak enough so that mad. Anyone can really take him out.
And they should. Right now.
They should.
They really should.
Just everybody bum rush him.
Piccolo can. Trunks can. Goku can.
Yamcha probably could help. Maybe not by himself, but maybe
Vegeta
he
loves
could...
stealing the glory. Why isn't he just rushing in right now?
Because he's not a kill stealer, Matt.
Yes, he is.
He's got that Saiyan pride.
Do you all recall when Cell arrived and introduced himself to the androids? How we talked about how they suddenly had an existential threat that they were facing down?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mentioned that Cell might encounter one of his own eventually, and this is kind of what I was referring to. Just the concept that perfection could be taken away.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean,
like,
listen.
That's an option on the table never even occurred to him.
There's nothing like having glory ripped from your hands, like, right when you've had it. You know, kind of like playing Sea of Thieves, encountering a Kraken, like, 2 feet away from the damn outpost. With your quest item in tow. I mean, not that I would know anything about that, but just as an example.
I was going to say that Gohan hit him with a blue shell.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That's pretty apt.
Gohan batters Cell around, toying with him now, and just continuing to demand that he give up.
Cell very nasally says, "Stay away from me, you budster." Because he doesn't have a nose now. And yep. So he can't even plead for his life. In a way that is cool.
Cell has decided that he is not done with body horror.
Nope. It's time for part two. Instead of in-beefening, he in-inflationings.
What? Yeah, boy, what?
He's fine.
He pumps himself up like a fucking hot air balloon.
And he's so nonchalant. He just, like, I'm going to blow myself up now.
Yeah, this was always an option.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, this part always freaked me out as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very... Any instance in which any character in DBZ is exploding or blowing up from the inside...
Yeah.
Don't like it. There'll be something later. A couple arcs into the future. We'll come back to it. Don't like it.
It's also a weird design choice in that all the other androids are capable of blowing themselves up, and they don't have to inflate.
They just have nukes.
That you know of. None of their nukes actually went off.
What if they inflate?
Oh,
if,
no.
If that's the case, god damn it.
Juro was truly evil.
Juro's a pervert.
Yeah, Juro had a DeviantArt account.
Juro took commissions.
Yeah, so he's planning to self-destruct and destroy the Earth in the process, and Gohan now regrets not destroying him when he had the chance.
Damn, if only.
The Z-Warriors are wondering what they can do, if anything, at this point.
Somebody needs to come up with a plan.
Goku turns back to his friends.
He's come up with a plan.
The man with a plan.
Oh, also, no. I do want to say just real quick, poor Gohan, just... This whole series, he's done nothing wrong. And the one time he, like, self-indulges, literally the whole world is fucked.
Well, this is exactly what he was afraid of the last three episodes. Like, you know, he was saying, with that power, I don't know what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably fuck everything up. And he has assumed the anime boy, oh no, I have failed position.
Ah.
Like the OTL.
The knee, the knees and the hands. He's like, ah, I've been bested.
Yeah.
By my enemy.
Buddy. Oh no, I've let down my friends.
My Nakama.
My Nakama!
God. Goku turns to his Nakama.
Yeah?
And he gives them a smile.
The spirit bomb sparkles are on the breeze.
And he says he can only think of one way to save the Earth now.
Trunks figures it out.
Goku puts his fingers to his forehead and he says goodbye to everyone.
Actually, he says, bye guys.
Krillin very figures it out.
Oh, Krillin.
Krillin is taking this very hard.
It looks like, it doesn't show this explicitly in the camera, but like just the way... the models are positioned from the top down shot. It looks like Goku is looking at Krillin when he goes back to think of it, and it just hurts my heart.
It's his friend.
Goku instant transmissions over to Cell and Gohan, and he walks over and he puts his hand on Cell, and he tells Gohan to take care of Chi-Chi and to tell her that this is something that he had to do.
I think right about here, like right as Goku shows up and puts his hand on Cell, is when we get the commercial break.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. As soon as he teleports away, his friends turn into a painting.
Yeah.
And then we cut to commercial.
Goku says goodbye to his son, and he instant transmissions himself and Cell away from the Earth.
Second half of this episode has so much whiplash between, like,
oh god!
Deadly
yeah.
gravity and absolutely hilarious shenanigans.
Right? Yeah, yeah. It's buck wild. So, where exactly does Goku take Cell? I mean, probably somewhere like deep space or something, or
maybe
like
the ruins desolate of planet Namek.
A desolate
the sun would
planet.
Be a good idea,
like a wasteland. Somewhere,
where no one would be. Right?
Like, just hold your breath for a second, then just teleport right back.
He brings Cell to King Kai's planet.
Damn it, Goku.
God, it's the only place he could think of.
And King Kai...
Oh my gosh.
King Kai is true to his motherfucking craft. Because as soon as Goku shows up, he cracks a smart aleck remark. He's like...
You could have called first.
Yeah. That's... King Kai is me in my very soul, where in the face of danger, my immediate reaction will be to, like, crack a pun.
I like trying to get inside Cell's head for all of this.
his little, before he gets teleported, his little wavy arms made me laugh so hard. Because he's like, oh no! But his arms are so tiny.
And then he arrives on this strange planet he's never seen before. And his face, as he's looking at King Kai, is like, who the fuck is that?
What the fuck?
Is that a goddamn monkey?
Is that a 1957 Chevrolet Bel Air?
Nice.
Damn it.
What a good model.
The Japanese is just as funny. Because he, when Goku says goodbye to Gohan, he says, you did fine to this point. Tell your mom I'm sorry. I always selfishly did whatever I wanted. You think, Goku?
Sorry, I'm a shonen hero.
Yeah, you did, sorry.
You did fine.
Up to this point.
Pretty good.
That's what I want my dad's last words to be for me.
God.
Now it's time for me to pop on off with a bang.
Oh, no! Don't get mad.
Goku gently lays a hand on Cell and puts his fingers to his forehead, and he turns back to Gohan with tears in his eyes, and he says, C+, Gohan.
Oh no!
Oh no! Oh,
plus average, go beyond. King Kai in the Japanese is just, don't you bring that thing here! Goku says, sorry, this was the only place.
Like a cat dragging a bird into the house.
Don't you bring that here.
Take it outside!
And then Cell does his thing.
Yeah, he explodes. And he annihilates King Kai's planet and everybody on it.
It's a cool mm-hmm. explosion.
Mm. It is.
Krillin walks over to console Gohan, who is blaming himself for what happened.
There's some fucking good sound work happening here.
Oh, like, my it God.
Is. There's no music. This is still and quiet. And Gohan cries out daddy, which echoes back to him.
It's extremely the Lion King.
Oh, yes.
Very Simba.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Krillin,
it's also extremely Spider-Man.
It's incredibly Spider-Man.
Krillin is doing his best. He just watched his best friend get killed again.
Yeah. Yep.
Again.
Yep.
And probably for good. But he's still walking over and he's like consoling Gohan. And even though it kind of was Gohan's fault, he was like, no, it's okay, but you know, it's not a big deal. We, you know, we got through it.
Yeah. I really like his Japanese speech. It's basically the same, but it's less, it sounds less false. Because in English, he's like, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
It kind of is your fault. but in the, let me find where I wrote it. He just says, it's over, Gohan. You and Goku put an end to it. And then, you know, Gohan is all sad. If only I'd killed Cell, like my dad told me, but I got too carried away. But Krillin says, don't blame yourself too much. Without your power, the Earth could not have been saved. Isn't that so? Goku died with a contented look on his face. I'm sure he was happy about how much you've grown. Come on, get up. Let's go home.
And then he concludes by seeing a lady on the ground.
Oh, God.
Oh.
It's that girl which I had a crush on.
Gotta go pick her up.
What, I mean,
I also
be
love
fair,
Vegeta's
like,
reaction to that.
She got barfed up.
Yeah.
He's gonna help her.
Yeah.
Vegeta's reaction is very good.
What are you doing with that thing?
Put that thing down.
Yeah.
Don't bring that thing here.
And Krillin's just like, well, we gotta help her. And he's just like, whatever you're into, I guess.
What? Yeah, whatever. Not my concern.
Yeah,
I'm not here to kink shame, I guess.
The Japanese is even better because he just says, "Hurry up and kill her." And Krillin he says a lot less, but he says, "Well, she wasn't that bad." And I wouldn't be too sure. You guys are as naive as ever. Just recognizing, like, aw, she's the new me.
She broke my arm.
There's a new Z baby.
You're pulling a Bulma, all right.
On Snake Way, Goku apologizes to King Kai and Bubbles and Gregory for getting them involved.
Oh my god.
Bubbles and Gregory are pretty chill about it.
I yeah. love Bubbles. This little hand wave. Yeah, you're fine, bud. In Japanese, Goku only apologizes to Gregory and Bubbles.
Good.
Does not apologize to King Kai.
That might explain so why King Kai is so salty about this.
Well, like, I guess he apologized off screen because Goku says, oh, I'm too far in my notes. Goku is like, come on, King Kai, I've apologized over and over. You're really on my back, huh? Which I guess, like, is some, like, linguistic slang that I'm not familiar with because King Kai gets really mad about language. Mm-hmm. What's your language, Goku? How dare you say I'm on your back?
Conspicuously absent from their little Halo group, though, is Cell.
Hmm.
Well, yeah. It takes them a while to notice.
He should they're probably be busy. There if he died too, right?
Yeah, makes
they're
sense.
Just too busy about Goku's party foul. Like, just the. I'm stuck on the total difference here between, like, the heavy, heavy grief on Gohan's face and then King Kai just yelling, Goku, you are a pest! Like, he's exactly as mad as if, like, you held a party and somebody barfed on your bed.
They conclude that that must mean he's still alive.
Oh. Come on.
Come on.
Well, it's fine. He's still in his second form. They could probably take him, right?
Back on Earth, a big old dust cloud kicks up, full of electricity.
Uh-oh.
A dust clearing.
A dust cloud... And the electricity, those sound effects were only on Gohan.
Everybody is a little surprised to see this happening. They're not mm-hmm. sure what's going on.
Maybe, who is it?
Well, we see a finger gun
Uh-oh.
In the dust cloud.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Is it Frieza?
It shoots a beam pretty much the same way Frieza done did it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And it way goes back right, in the day.
It goes right through
Dende.
Vegeta's. Goes right son. Through Vegeta's son, Trunks.
No!
It hits Trunks in the chest and pierces right through it.
Oh, no.
While the beam was traveling, there was, like, that cascade of, like, it passing by the heads of all the Z fighters. Like, Tien, yeah. Yamcha, Krillin, Beerus, 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 Vegeta.
Who's it gonna be?
It passed by Trunks.
It did.
Before it landed on Trunks.
It did a loop-de-loop.
Yeah, I want to say it just pulled a U-turn.
It's like when you play Duck Duck Goose and you're trying to fake out your friends by going around the circle all the way once before.
It confused me because I knew who it was going to hit because I've seen it before, but then it went past him and I'm like, wait, does he not get hit here? Is that later? Oh no, it is here. Weird.
Boom.
Weird.
The old gotcha beam.
The old gotcha beam trick.
Cell has not only managed to survive his own explosion, fucking somehow,
mm-hmm.
but he is also still somehow in his perfect form.
Yup.
This what? Is when I wrote everything is bullshit.
Yep.
Everything is bullshit and he looks cooler to draw, so for a final conflict, he's gonna be perfect Cell.
Yeah.
Not only is he in his perfect form, he's stronger than before, and he knows how to use the instant transmission. Because
he's got the zappies now too.
He's got the Super Saiyan 2 zappies. I'm assuming it's because he probably had the biggest Zenkai boost you could have.
Yeah, I'll buy the Zenkai boost part.
He does literally say that in the Japanese next episode.
Oh, does he?
His monologue in Japanese makes way more sense than the one in English.
Yes, it does.
The
English one is just like. I don't fucking know. Look, I'm strong.
Here I am.
Maybe it's my cells or something.
Any other thoughts for 188?
I have a quick question. Mm-hmm. So long ago when Trunks was first introduced and I was all like so excited about mm-hmm. Vegeta being a dad and being like, oh, he's gonna care about his son. I'm so excited. He's a dad. He's gonna be have the feelings. You guys said that it would be made clear that he canonically does not care about his son.
Mm-hmm.
Is that in the future or the past?
Because
it seems like he cares maybe a little
mm-hmm.
right now, at least some.
I will say that this is the incident that makes him care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was referring to at the time.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
because you were urging him to, you literally said, hold your son.
Yeah. He didn't want to do that.
No.
And okay. He actually still won't, but he does care now.
Okay.
He's getting there. He's working on it.
I spent the time figuring out alternate ways Goku could have solved this problem. Number one, you got the instant transmission, you can go anywhere, right?
Hit him with those cinema sins, Jason.
Yeah, ding, 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 ding. Put him in, number one, put him into space. Number two, put him, like, somewhere in the middle of Snake Way. Number three, put him in hell. Number four, put him on King Kai's planet, grab King Kai and leave.
Put him and in Bubbles King and Kai's planet.
And Bubbles and Gregory. Of course, and Bubbles and Gregory. And leave. And also the 57 Chevrolet Bel Air.
Also the car.
Yeah,
right.
Don't forget the car.
Maybe a snack, too.
Number, my favorite one that I just came up just now, put him at the entrance of the Room of Spirit and Time and push him in.
Well, you can't do that. Marin's in there.
Yeah, that's true. That would be so real.
We missed the part in the show where he first went to the lookout and then looked at the door and it had the like little restroom thing on it that says occupied. And then he's like, well, he's like, I guess,
oh man,
King Kai's planet.
Put him inside King Yama's desk.
But it's mahogany, Tyler.
Mahogany.
Episode 189, the English title is Cell Returns! !
The Japanese title roughly translates to A Nightmare in Broad Daylight. The terror becomes even more perfect.
Oof.
Did Cell write that episode title?
Yes, he did. After he wrote 100% ratings.
My first note is that the narrator says, can the good guys get it together to defeat Cell? Fucking come on, narrator. Give him a break.
Yeah.
Listen, he's speaking.
This is pretty
messed
up. Can
they stop dropping the ball for once?
Hindsight's 20/20.
So Cell begins to explain how he survived his own explosion. And in English, he says that every cell in his makeup has a life of its own. And as long as a single living cell survives, he can fully regenerate from it. And also, they're designed and programmed to retain the memories of all of his past lives.
Bullshit. And also, one of my cells learned from one of Goku's cells how to do the instant transmission, and also I got more powers, I guess, because of cells.
I just, we got, our atoms got intermingled for a bit.
Yeah, but, ugh.
Dave has a note that says, I see, cell is one of those words that just means whatever the writer needs it to mean. Like radiation in a Godzilla movie.
Is Japanese, it like, gives it a little bit more wiggle room. Because I can kind of imagine, you know those like California pine cones that only drop their seeds after a fire has happened? The Japanese dialogue makes me think of those, because he says, inside my head, there is a small lump. This is what serves as my nucleus. As long as that is not destroyed, this body can continue to regenerate itself.
Which makes sense when we actually see the lump in question.
Right.
Yeah.
It is not a cell. It is not.
It's a lump. And also, when I'm talking about it, it's not like, oh, Jiro was such a genius, it was designed that way. He says, as luck would have it, the nucleus survived. Boy, how lucky.
Nice,
this is
nice.
So great. I had no idea this would happen. Also, I guess I got a Zenkai boost too, so that's dope.
I'm still gonna call a little bit of shenanigans on this, because he says, as long as this lump survives, but we were there when Goku kind of turned his whole top half into the end of a lit cigar.
It moves.
Yeah.
It was his foot at that point.
That is shenanigans.
Yeah.
In the brief seconds, his nucleus went into his butt.
He activated the butt protocol.
Good thing Jiro installed the butt protocol.
This is my least favorite Mission Impossible movie.
What, my brilliant creator.
So it turns out that self-destructing ended up being a bigger benefit to him than he could have ever imagined. Because he's back at full power, and also he learned instant transmission, because fucking why not?
Also,
he was able to study it.
Here's some more body yuck, because the lump expanding into cell is not great.
It isn't.
I don't know why this was so funny to me.
He looks like a human laugh. Jiffy Pop.
It's just this little squishy blob, and he just like is like the opposite of the last inflation. He's like a little empty balloon.
He looks just like an executive stress toy that has had the shit beaten out of him.
Why it was so funny. It just
dip your cell in water and watch him grow.
Trunks is still clinging to life, spitting up blood with the hole in his chest as Tien and Yamcha go to tend to him.
Oh my gosh.
And something is stirring in Vegeta.
Oh my gosh.
Boy, oh boy.
And he does my favorite thing that he's ever done. Just exclaims in his head, "This is all Kakarot's fault."
That's very good.
Like, the screen goes black with the exception of Vegeta and Trunks. And he has a deep flashback to shit that happened literally 30 seconds ago.
He does not flashback to the part where he created Perfect Cell, conveniently.
Who can remember that far back?
Who's to say, really?
To be fair, I think that flashback is because the Japanese, there's no talk of, oh no, my son. It's all the flashbacks are about Gohan's dialogue, which I'll get to because it's scary. Just making it very clear that, oh, this is Kakarot's fault and I'm not gonna let Kakarot or his son show me up. I'm gonna go beat up Cell.
Oh, wow.
And the stuff with his son is subtext, I think, because there's still that camera work.
Yeah, it is indisputable in the animation that he is staring wide-eyed and mouth agape at his dying son on the ground as he's thinking this.
Which, okay, can we take a minute for Gohan's dialogue? Because the English, it's like very wholesome, like, I learned from my dad that I'm not gonna give up. Mm-hmm. Even though that's literally what he did. The Japanese, holy shit, Gohan is not okay.
Buddy, what happened?
So Cell asks, what's so funny? And Gohan, doing his little smirk, he says, I'm happy. Happy? Gohan says, yeah, I'm happy that I can now avenge my father, who died because of my conceit. I wanted so much to kill you with my own hands. That's what I was thinking.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, and that's exactly Vegeta's face looking at Cell. Not Cell, Gohan. He literally says, Gohan, no.
Gohan, dial it back.
Well, I wondered, like, because he's got, like, mouth open, eyes wide, his hair blowing in the winds of Gohan's rage. I wonder if, like, Vegeta sees himself in Gohan in this minute, because it reminds me of how Vegeta talked about Frieza, and I wondered if this was how Vegeta thought about Frieza.
There's probably an element of that, yeah.
In the English, Vegeta has an inner monologue about Trunks as he is looking at him.
My baby boy!
He acknowledges how much Trunks has sacrificed for him, despite everything that he's done to just push him away and never really give him the time of day. And he says there is still time to change things.
I can change things before he fully bleeds out.
Vegeta screams to the heavens, and he charges into battle past everybody.
Gosh.
Love it. Love it.
Yes.
I wish he'd said what he said in Japanese. His inner monologue in Japanese is not really a monologue. He just says the names of people. But then he yells, Cell! And his voice cracks. I, the Prince of Planet Vegeta, will defeat you. And that is so strong.
The crack at Cell, like, that fascinates me.
Yeah, well, it might have just, like, been, I don't know if it might have just been, like, the way that the L's were pronounced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or it might have, I don't know.
I will still take it.
It felt emotional.
This is the kind of stuff that I love from Vegeta as a character. Like, this is what makes him my favorite character, is he very, very much wants to do things better and good. Like, you can see it in him that he wants to do, like, he literally says there's time to change. He wants those things. he has absolutely no idea of how to do them or to get there. So he just keeps doing the same mistakes over and over again.
He just screams and does a beam scramble.
He literally
charges
in head first.
That's his solution to everything. He has the tenderness, but he only has the toolkit afforded to him by his masculine upbringing, where he can only resolve his shit with the violence.
Right, like, I am feeling these weird feelings about my son. I have to help him by throwing myself at this monster!
God. I'm gonna do beams about it.
In an effective way, like, he knows about dust clouds. And this is the biggest one we've ever seen.
Vegeta lances out a beam at Cell, and he follows it up with a, like, the most ferocious bean scramble we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, this went on for minutes.
Just he takes a breather in the middle.
His emotions in exertion.
He stops and he mocks Cell, and then he follows it up with another beam scramble.
This is what we like to call a fuck him up Vegeta moment. But it is not
effective.
No,
yeah, they're not as effective as the Gohan moments.
It is just impotent rage.
Krillin here is so good. In English, he just says, Vegeta, what do you think you're doing? I very much thought he was going to mention the dust cloud, but that would be silly. In Japanese, he just says, Vegeta, you stupid bastard. Yeah. Trunks could have been brought back with the Dragon Balls.
Vegeta, finally worn out and breathless from all of his beam scrambles, mm-hmm. lets up, and he proclaims that it's over.
It's not over, bud. He looks so pale here.
Yeah.
Like, he is still experiencing those emotions.
Uh-huh. Ugh.
Cell lunges out of the dust, and he says it's only over when he says it's over.
And now it's over.
And he chops Vegeta out of the sky, and Vegeta just crumples on the ground.
And he had a beam. He's at full.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One chop will do ya.
And that neck doesn't look good.
No.
That's a bad neck.
You shouldn't sleep that way.
Mm-mm. And his pupils are gone.
Yep.
Cell shoots a ki blast at the unconscious Vegeta to finish him off, but Gohan rushes over and takes the bullet.
Gohan!
Mr. President!
Basically.
Nappa's the president, please.
Mr. Principal Saiyans!
Thank you.
And when the beam happens, the music cuts out.
Oh my gosh. Up until the Satan Squad shows up, this is such a beautiful shot of, like, everybody's protecting somebody. Gohan's diving in front of Vegeta. Yamcha and Tien are protecting Trunks. Krillin's protecting 18.
This is dire.
It's dire, but it brings out the feelings. this theme of sacrifice and protecting, and this idea that, like, even though everything is hopeless and there is no chance probably that the Earth will make it out, we're gonna protect each other and try to keep each other here on the Earth for a couple more seconds, and it gets me. Oh, goodness.
I also like that Vegeta getting literally smacked down kind of snaps Gohan out of his, like, little dark place that he was just in.
Oh, yeah.
Gets him back to his mindset of protecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, yeah.
Rather than avenging.
The dust clears, and Gohan is on top of Vegeta. They're both pretty banged up looking at this point. Mm-hmm. But Gohan is not down and out yet, and he picks himself up off the ground, bleeding profusely.
Yeah.
One of his arms is down and out, though.
Yep.
Did you notice which arm?
The left one.
Yes, his left arm.
Oh, shit!
That's pretty curious, huh?
Oh, fuck! Huh.
I think Aaron figured it out.
Uh-huh.
I
missed it.
Gohan's run into some trouble with his left arm before.
Oh!
We've seen it on the show.
Spell it out for me and the listening audience.
In the history of Trunks, Gohan then lost that whole arm.
Some things never change.
Amazing.
And then Krillin kind of ruins the moment by going, Vegeta, you hothead!
I mean...
Look what you done did to Gohan.
He's right, though.
I think this is when he calls him a stupid bastard in Japanese.
Piccolo wants to rush a Zenzu bean to Gohan, but they're all out of beans.
Aw, oh, beans.
Aw, oh, boy.
Trunks is still in terrible shape, and now Vegeta is also out of commission, because he's a fucking dumbass.
Now they're not even lacking pupils. Their whole sclera is black.
That's alarming.
Yeah, that you gotta see a doctor for that, I think. Mm-hmm. Gohan is left to stand alone, down one arm, as Cell prepares a Kamehameha.
This shot kicks so much ass, because you see his hands fan out in front of him. There's like a little bit of electricity between them before they come together. Like, it's so good.
His palms like smacking together.
He's like, because, I mean, we definitely got chills when Cell first launched a Kamehameha. Like, that's a hero move. That's not something Cell can do. But that is pretty much Cell's signature move. That is his level 3 super.
He loves to do it.
In DBFZ. And so him just smacking his palms together is like, well, here's how I'm going to solve this.
And y'all know I can do a big one even before I got my Zenkai boost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they put a lot of special sauce on this one.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Cell coming back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, it begins a trend in Dragon Ball Z of kind of leapfrogging between decisions that I really don't like and conclusions that make it okay.
Yeah. Huh. Felt like Toriyama just wanted to recreate the moment where Frieza came back.
Yeah.
But way quicker.
And also, he still wanted to draw Perfect Cell, but he also wanted to get 18 out.
Yeah.
Bit for reasons.
How do you all feel about it? Those who know what will happen and Aaron who doesn't.
I feel cheated.
Yeah.
I don't know about this trend of what you speak, but I can see it, because like, you know, like I said, I had to stop watching last night after the first two episodes because I was just so frustrated. Like, oh, this takes away everything. And also with, like, I appreciate the comedic relief of the Satan Squad and the whole King Kai thing. Mm-hmm. But it felt like it was really undercutting like the gravity of what was happening, especially after how cool Gohan going Super Saiyan 2 was.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cell coming back in his perfect form, it felt like it undercut not only what had just happened, but the whole arc up to this point. Everything that the androids went through, everything that Cell had to go through to become his perfect form. Like, oh, I guess eating 18 didn't matter at all. His existential, like, desire to become his perfect self, he could have just, you know, I don't know, done it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's the part that kills me, is that it presents this amazing concept of, like, oh, we could just get those kids out of him. Like, we didn't even know that that was a possibility. You could just punch a teen out of him.
Oh,
it's like a gachapon.
And instead of investigating that and like what Cell thinks about that, it's just thrown away so that we can have fights again with Perfect Cell, and they're good. Like, we get this Vegeta growth a little bit, or it's not really growth, but we get to look at Vegeta's progress and see how much more he still has to do.
The conclusion to this saga is better than Cell just blowing himself up.
Yes.
But, the trend it starts is really not worth it. Well, no, I shouldn't say it's not worth it, but the trend is bad.
It's not a decision that I can get on board with, even though the end results... the approach that I have to take to this show sometimes is to just remember the good times and kind of, like, sweep the less good stuff under the rug. And this is one of those. Like, I remember how Cell actually is defeated, and I love it, but I don't have to think about how it, like, comes from him doing this.
Yeah.
I also gotta say, I thought, before Cell came back, I thought for a moment that the show was doing something really interesting. I mean, it is doing a lot of really interesting things. But so many of the defeats of villains that we've seen so far have been really like slow and milked for drama and kind of drawn out. And the whole thing from when Gohan goes Super Saiyan to him kind of going off the deep end a little bit, to Cell being afraid, to Cell inflating himself, and then Goku dying, that all, that escalates so quickly. And it captures a thing that I don't see a lot in, like, especially sort of kids shows or like animated shows, like that
Shonen.
Awful things can happen so quickly, and things spiral out of control, and decisions are made on the spur of the moment, and you can't even catch up with them before everything is lost.
Right, they can solidify it before you even have time to realize what decision you made.
Right, and I thought, like, this was gonna dive into that. Like, whoa, this is really dark and interesting, and we're gonna, like, look at the ramifications of this and then figure out what to do next. But it just so... I think we could have spent a little bit more time between Cell going away and Cell coming right the fuck back.
He didn't need to learn instant transmission.
Yeah, or at least, like, he could have practiced... first, I don't know.
Practiced.
It could have taken him a couple hours to regrow.
Yeah, something.
From, if not either a single cell or a lump in his head, it should have taken, like, I don't know, at least 20 minutes.
It's taken him longer to regrow an arm.
Yeah.
Than his whole goddamn body from a lump.
Mm-hmm. It's just that Zenkai boost. He really juices it up.
Yeah. Is that like a quadruple Zenkai boost? Because he's got so many cells from so many different Saiyans.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Do your Zenkai
does
boost
it stack?
But also, why didn't he just blow himself up again?
Well, yeah, and keep doing it.
But that's the same issue we discussed last time we talked about the Zenkai boost.
None of the people they took cells from were very smart. I don't think
that's what
that
we have to keep falling back on.
Yeah.
It's thankful for this show that nobody is a fucking smart person.
God, if he took any brief DNA,
oh, no.
This would have been over.
Any other thoughts for the episodes this week?
No, I have one thought.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's going to bleed over into the next episode, so... But yeah, I'll go ahead and... So the Kamehameha that Cell's about to do is referred to in pretty much everything other than the main show as the Solar Kamehameha.
Ooh.
But why? He's a bug.
He's a Venusaur.
He is not a plant. It's always bugged me.
Oh, you're right.
It's literally always bugged me.
I guess they want to just differentiate it from Goku's. This is the bad one.
And Solar Kamehameha does sound cooler than Bug Kamehameha.
It does.
Wait,
can we come up with any alternatives?
Are all of his Kamehamehas Solar Kamehamehas or just this one?
Just this one.
Huh.
Oh,
this is a special one.
The wiki solved it.
Oh.
The Japanese name for Solar Kamehameha is Taikyoke Hakai Kamehameha, or Solar System Destroying Kamehameha.
Hell yes.
Damn.
I see that the English missed a couple words.
Solar, followed by System, and then Destroying.
Gosh.
Oh, problem solved. Just
stick
with the Japanese version.
Aaron.
Yeah.
Next week is going to be the conclusion of the Cell games. I don't mean to surprise you with this knowledge.
I knew there was a time skip coming up sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Is next week.
We're not going to get into it next week. We have a couple weeks before we'll get to it, but Cell will be defeated next week.
Yeah.
Dope.
We don't often get this opportunity, so I would like to ask you if you have any thoughts on how it'll play out.
I have no fucking clue. I am as flabbergasted as the Satan squad. I have no... I think in the Japanese Mr. Satan actually says, "What the hell just happened?" And that is me right now. Like, not only are there so many, like, understandable twists and turns, that, as we've seen as with you guys talking about the start of this trend, like, things that don't even make sense narratively could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Anything could happen. The Cat in the Hat could show up. Zeus could show up. Who knows? King Yama can show up and just put Cell in a box.
Marin will save the day.
Well, of course. Man. yeah, she's gonna come, she's gonna get Captain Ginyu, and they're gonna do a body swap, and then they're gonna fuse, and then they're gonna charm Cell with their fused frog lady body, and he turn him from evil. I don't know. Anything could happen.
I'm really sad that Dave's not here to write all this down.
I hate that you probably did just describe Cell's type.
Well, she would have to be part lady and part frog. Anything else is a deal breaker.
I also hate that there really isn't any conflict solved by King Yama showing up and putting somebody in a headlock.
The patented Yama lock.
Yeah. When do we get to see the patented Yama lock?
We never do.
We have to assume that it defeated Raditz, and that's it.
Oh, right. Well, I guess it's not that story. I was going to say, since we never see it, it could be as strong as anything, because we never see it. We don't know how strong it is, so it's probably the strongest thing there is.
Or as strong as a Cyberman.
Or that. Hey, let's yeah, maybe Hail a Marin. Cyberman will show up and blow up Cell.
One of the Cell Juniors got away.
And it made friends with a Cyberman, and they're going to go fight the authority.
Let me tell you about my best friend.
Hey, let's Hail Marin.
All right.
Does anybody have any thoughts for Hail Marin? Because I kind of want to talk about the Cell Junior and the Cybermen who are definitely alive. And in our canon now, and go to live just a happy life somewhere.
Yeah, that I like these two, these good friends.
So, they communicate only through giggles.
So, where is the Cyberman hiding? Spoiler alert, in the ground.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It's where they meet.
Yeah, where the Cell Junior went to hide.
They bump into each other like Lady and the Tramp because they're both eating the same worm.
They bump into each other. They bump into each other like two Bugs Bunnies digging holes to Albuquerque.
Oh, love it. They're gonna go be friends. They're gonna live in the woods. They're gonna.
What if they keep going underground?
The local wildlife.
What does happen if they keep going underground?
What if they dig so far underground that they meet Shenron?
They can do some Looney Tunes shenanigans at Shenron.
What if they just go Space Jam with Shenron?
That would be so great. Oh man, I bet Shenron's great at basketball. Like, everybody keeps calling him up to go make wishes, and Shenron just like, he just wants to play some solid 3-on-3. Just wants to shoot some hoops.
See, Matt, this is supposed to be a gift to you specifically.
We didn't even wrap it.
I know that you get a little antsy when we start messing with the canon too much and go beyond the bounds of it. But what if we did it so far away from everybody that it could literally never come up?
Mm-hmm. They will never come up physically through the crust of the earth.
I'm cool with that. I can't stop wondering what happens if they just accidentally run into the shell that's holding Majin Buu.
Oh god, that's too far in the future.
Because
they stumble in, they dig their way in back into the cannon. we put all this in place to keep them away and separated, but they still find a way to worm back in.
These little rascals, they're like puppies. They just get into something. You thought you put away all the things, but they find the one thing you didn't put away.
They find the cannon anyway.
They find a sock and they eat it.
It's depressing, but the conclusion that keeps popping in my brain is they run into the egg and then they get just bug zapped.
Aww.
Like they had this big grand adventure.
Aw, dang.
We hugged them too hard.
Oh, no.
I had another can of worms that I had prepared before we even had... I even knew of the possibility of a Cell Jr. and a Cyberman becoming friends.
Mm-hmm.
Marin is in the room of spirit and time.
Mm-hmm.
Does she get out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. She's fine.
Yeah, she has her me time. She's a go-getter. She's not... really a homebody. She takes the time she needs, and then she's like, all right, I'm ready to go take on the world again.
You're saying that we don't paint ourselves into a corner and have the door disappear and have to figure out a way to get her out.
Oh, that can happen.
Sure.
She could wander off and forget where it is.
For 2 years.
2 years? I mean, that's 2 days, so yeah, sure. Why not? She finds a book somebody left in there and gets really, like, into reading for a minute. That one book.
She gets really lost in a... Oh, she wants to do a... She gets lost in, like, War and Peace or something.
Oh, yeah, that'll get ya.
And she just thinks to herself, it'll be fine. A hunko will fly by at any moment now and just pick me up. But there are no hunkos.
There are no hunkos in the void.
She has to find her inner hunko.
Well, let's save thinking up a plan to get Marin out of the hyperbolic time chamber for next time.
Yeah, this is her training sick montage. She's like, I'm not gonna be left here in the void.
Jason.
Yes?
You've got a pretty good 4-star rating reading for us.
I think I do. We come up with these 4-star ratings at the end of each episode. We take a various Dragon Ball Z characters and take their either canonical or non-canonical birthdays, and we read off a little something from the horoscope section that might help them out. In this case, we're going to take a character who doesn't have a canonical birthday, so we reverse engineer one based on his manga debut date.
Who is it?
In this case, it is Vegeta.
Scorpio.
A Scorpio. His manga debuted on November 7th, 1988, so he is one of our many, many, many Scorpios. Vegeta, this is your reading. Your mind is surprisingly clear, and your thinking fits in line with what your ego has set out to accomplish. Now the key is for you to let your emotions speak. Step forward, charge ahead, and let yourself go after whatever you want.
Buddy!
You've spent the last couple days in quiet contemplation, but now is the time for action.
There's still time to change things.
Hug your son.
Hug your son.
After you're conscious again.
Give him a bean. Bring him to his mom. He needs his mom. He barely knows
you. Go on a family vacation.
Yeah, do that.
Thank you all for listening. I appreciate everyone who tunes in to this show every week. Matt.
Yeah.
Where can our friends find you on the internet?
What's up, guys? You know who it is. It's your boy, Define Prog.
What's up, fam?
Smash that like button.
Follow me on Twitter at MonumentousMatt. We'll see you there.
The top Fortnite vids.
Aaron, how about you?
I don't do much on the internet. Whoa! But if you find yourself in or around Dayton, Ohio, Gem City, you can come to the Black Box Improv Theater. We have shows every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and I perform with a group on Thursday nights.
And Jason?
Well, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, and you can find me on twitch.tv, and they're all under one name, and that's JCAVS. That's right, JAYCALVES.
If you'd like to contact the show directly, there's a couple ways to do so. We are on Twitter at @destructo_disc, D-I-S-C. Pinned there is a tweet that is an invitation to our Discord channel, our Discord server, where you can come and talk to us about spoilers for Dragon Ball Z or GT or Super.
The Destructo Discourse.
That's the one. It's also a game section where I am now posting my Mario Maker levels. Come
it's very
fucking
well
throw
titled.
Yourselves at
God,
them.
God, yes. It's where I will go to talk about various fighting games that I get blown up in very easily at, because I'm not very good at them, but I like them.
And there's also a fan art and fan fiction section.
Oh, yes.
We also have a Gmail account for questions, which is destructodiscourse@gmail.com. And if you would like to help out the show, please give us a rating and a review on your podcast service of choice. And when you give us a rating, make it a 4-star rating.
Please, 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 please.
Gohan's had a bad day.
Gohan needs it.
A bad day.
Give us the Gohan.
The good one.
Have a heart.
Please.
Have a lump.
Don't have that.
Have a lump that regrows your whole body when you die. Give us the Gohan.
Oh, no.
Give us the Gohan, but if you do find a lump normally, make sure you go see a doctor as soon as possible.
Yep.
Don't just assume that it will regrow your whole body when you die.
It no. won't.
You it is not were not created lump. By a mad scientist, I don't think. This has been Destructo Discourse, and we're just getting warmed up!
I just got blown away by that.
I thought you were going to monologue between the syllables.
And we're just getting warmed. This will surely blow you away. The road ahead you seem so cold and gray. When night never turns to day, don't you be afraid, you'll fly away. Cha-la, and cha-la, no time to hate.